Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 67, stanzas 2 through 5. Lord, remember in thy love all thy mercies manifold, tender mercies from above, changeless from the days of old. 2 through 5 of Psalter 67. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 19th Psalm, Psalm 19. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 19. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden, who may be in the care home in Fort McLeod. Dustin Grisnick, who has to go to the hospital this week. Chad may have been in the hospital in this past week. And Mr. Bill Auerkirk, who was hoping to be in church today after discouraging news from the doctor. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, of the heavens and of the earth, before whom we are but those who are of yesterday, who know nothing, who are nothing, and who can bring forth nothing but that which is evil in thy holy sight. And then thou still permittest us to continue in our life, not only, but also to come together on this beautiful Sabbath day into thy house of prayer. And then we may read out of thy holy word that the heavens, they declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth thy handiwork. And then there is not a place upon this world that that voice is not heard, that it is over the length and the breadth of the whole earth, from the highest to the lowest places, even within the very deep. And so that voice, that thou art the creator, and that thou art the upholder, that is coming to us and to all men in this world, to make us ashamed of ourselves and of our deep fall, our rebellion against thee in our father Adam. Lord, then we may have another voice, that of the revelation of thy holy word, that is withheld from so many, so that they are blind to the cause of all their misery and of all that which is taking place in this world, wherein man goes to his own destruction, but we with our children may know the cause. Oh, that thou may give that this knowledge may never testify against us, but that thou may draw us with thy goodness and thy long-suffering mercies, that our hearts may break in this morning, and that that which thou givest unto us may make our hearts to weep and to mourn, and that we sin against thee in heart and life, and that we have turned our backs never to return again, that there may be a cry out of our hearts, even in this beginning of thy holy day, that we with our children may be caused to return again. Show to us that rebellion that lies within us, that we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and that there may come in thy time also a place and room for thee to magnify thy own name in thy only begotten Son, as that mediator and the redeemer of the souls of thy people. Oh, that we may not be excluded from those most necessary blessings after we have received all the temporal benefits day by day and hour by hour with our children. Look upon them also in the days of their youth. Oh, give them this day, when we have come together in thy house, that which thou didst give unto thy servant, and that later he did mourn, that he had it no longer. Oh, thou didst give him to rejoice, when he may come up with the multitude to the house of the Lord. And then there came a time he had to be separated, and that was to the grief of his heart. Oh, that thou may look upon our youth and upon our children. Thy servant did play the harp on the fields of Bethlehem, also when he was so very young. And thou art able to give when we are still so young, a heart that loves and that serves thee, and that desires to flee from all that is vain, carnal, sinful, and wicked, and that desires to seek with all the heart, might, soul, and strength the true and the living God. Oh, how much sin we shall then be kept from in our youth and in our childhood, that we will not have to mourn over in our old age. Oh, that thou mayest so lead and guide the children of the congregation, that they may also be given to take the place of the fathers and the mothers in grace, and that also in this day something of thy word may strike their young hearts, as thou beginnest so often, when we are young. Lord, then remember also those who have become older, for older means also colder. And from our side, a heart wherein there is not a tear, a sigh, or a cry after thee, but it needs all to come forth from thee, and thou art the Almighty God. Moses was commanded but to speak unto the rock, and that water did gush forth. Then that rock did break. Oh, Lord, break our hard and stony hearts, when there is nothing within that goes out after thee, but only after all that is carnal and vain and passing away. Oh, that thou may in this morning Cause it to be a word of power, a word of life. In the day of thy good pleasure for many in the midst of us. That thy law, which we have read of out of thy holy word. And that law which is perfect, converting the soul. That law may also break our hearts in this morning. That we may be converted unto thee, turned unto thee, away from all evil, and unto the true and the living God, the greatest good. Remember all thy people. Thou knowest also what lives in their heart day by day, and that which they cannot solve. Lord, that thou may bring again those that do wander and that have again sought after the world after that thou hast stopped them in their mad career. But they have again become so listless and lazy in seeking after thee. Then they can separate themselves, but they cannot bring themselves back again. Oh, come thou then, feed also the hungry and the thirsty ones, that they also may be in our midst, and that thou may grant them a little, that may fulfill the desires that thou thyself hast placed in their heart. And that they may know and feel something of thy presence and of thy nearness. And that they may be drawn to advance further in those blessed steps wherein thou dost lead all thy people. And that thou may give also new ones. Lord, then it is only only thy power that is able to raise the dead. That is our hope and our expectation in this morning hour. When we have come up to thy house, perhaps in a way that is listless, perhaps in a way that is cold, perhaps in a way that is uncaring, and maybe in a way that we have nothing but rebellion. That we are waiting already for the service to come to an end. Oh, that thou, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, who can bring to pass from that which is not, and that thou may bring life then from the dead, and that it may be a wonder experienced in the midst of us, in this morning hour, that God is still alive and that he still looks upon us. Help then all that are afflicted, all those that suffer from serious diseases. As we have heard also in this morning hour, the disappointing news and that has come to one of our members. And he may also be with us in this morning to listen. Lord, that thou may remember him in the need of his body and in the climbing of the years of his life. For then it points unto the end. But Lord, may thou feed him in thy mercy with that which he cannot give unto himself. And that thou may grant that life that may never die, and that instruction that may be to the good of his soul and to the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember her that may be brought back unto this place, once again close to her family? Lord, that thou may continue to make it well for her body and grant her yet also a good day when she is not able to be in our midst. Look upon the little children, him that was and also him that must go into the hospital. In the coming week, wilt thou make all things well, and wilt thou strengthen the hands of the doctors, and may thou bless the means for their bodies and for their souls. Help us too in this morning hour when we are called again to bring thy word. But Lord, thou knowest what we have, from our side, then there is nothing. And this people, they come together to hear what thou hast to say. That thou may use our voice as thou hast promised us in this morning for the good of their souls. And that thou may be in our midst in mercy, feelingly and believingly, as one that serveth, forgiving all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 38, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. The precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 38. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, the 19th Psalm, and thereof the 12th and the 13th verses, Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So far, the words of our text, David's prayer for cleansing and keeping. First, what it means to be cleansed and to be kept. Second, from what David desired to be cleansed and kept. And third, the consequences of this cleansing and keeping. David's prayer for cleansing and keeping. First, what it means to be cleansed and kept. Cleanse thou me and keep back thy servant. Second, from what David desired to be cleansed and kept. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And last, what consequences this cleansing and keeping are. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Who can understand his errors? Who is congregation speaking? That is David. He is the king, and he is also prophet. We know that he has prophesied of the coming also, and the nature of the Son of God who was to come. That was a man who had great understanding. Great understanding in natural things, but he had also, in a special way, a great understanding in spiritual things. When we may read in the Psalms how that he has written what is taking place in the heart of God's true church, and then we may say what a very blessed understanding that this man was given. Do we also have a little understanding of those things which take place in the heart of God's true people? And yet there was one thing that David says he was not able to understand. And what was that? He said, who can understand his errors? Thus, with all his understanding, he did not understand, he said, his errors. How is that with us? With all of our understanding, do we understand our errors? The more that a person comes to understand in this life, the more he is given to see that he lacks understanding. That is so in a natural way. When we are trained in the school, education, if it is right, is a very humbling experience, then the more we know, children, you study science, and the more science that you learn, the more you see that you do not know, that there is so much more to learn. And so that is a very humbling experience when it is right. But that is not only so in a natural way, that is also so in a spiritual way. That is so in true conversion. Because what kind of understanding does the Lord give then in true conversion? Then the Lord gives an understanding of our errors, that is, of our sins. And then you may ask God's true people, the more that they are given to see, the more that they believe that there is to see, the more that they are given to know, the more that they believe that there is to know, then that sin that is multiplying from that which is outward to that which is inward, to that which is individual, to that which is of our being, that it is seen then as a fountain that a man is not able to penetrate into the depth of that fountain. Who can understand his errors? Thus, we have, by the Spirit of the Lord, a great lesson in humility, a lesson that is the whole life long of the people, to bring the people down from their heights. Who can understand his errors? Not only to know what our error is, but also to understand our error. It is sometimes, children, that you do something wrong, but you don't really understand that wrong. You do not understand why it is wrong, and you do not understand how great that evil is. Thus, who can understand his errors? Who can understand his sin? And why is that sin that is so much greater than what we understand? It is because we do not understand him against whom that sin is. And what did Job say? He says, who is able to find out God? Who is able to know him unto perfection? He said that is as high as the heaven. He says that is deeper than hell. Thus, if we are not able to understand him against whom that we do sin, how is it possible that we really and truly understand our errors? Thus, that is something that is deeper, that is something that is more profound than all of the science and all of the learning that we can have in this world. Who can understand his errors? Is that now important? Is that important that a man understands his errors? Congregation, what is more important? What is more important in our whole life? What is more important between the cradle and the grave? That we come to understand our errors? We will ask you, young people, what shall it now profit us when we are standing one day before that throne of God and we will know all of mathematics, but we will not know our errors? When we are standing before that judgment seat, then we will have learned all science, and we will not understand our errors. When there we will stand, and when we have learned all philosophy, but we do not know our errors, when there we will stand and we will have memorized even the Holy Scriptures from the first book in Genesis to the last of Revelation, that we can repeat that all out of our heart, and yet do not know our errors, and yet have never learned that I am a sinner before God? Or is that important, that a man understand his errors? How can a man receive the true conviction of sin? How can a man be convinced of his sin if he does not understand his errors? How can a man be brought off his throne? How can a man be humbled in the dust when he does not understand his errors? How can a man see any beauty in the Son of God? How can a man see any beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ when he does not understand his errors? Oh, is not his beauty, is not his loveliness, is not his comeliness as something that is over against all the errors of a man? Or is his glory not increasing over against all the depth of the errors of a man? Is this not then the magnification of the necessity and of the work and the glory of the Son of God over the wretchedness and the awfulness of the errors of a man? Who can understand his errors? David, he asked for two things. That is, for cleansing and for keeping. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Thus first David asks for what? He asks for cleansing. What does that mean, to cleanse? Actually, it means something that we may not think that it means, because many times we use that term to point to sanctification, but actually here it does not mean this. No, here this original word, that is a forensic term, that means that it is a word that has to do with a court, that has to do with a judge, that is speaking not about sanctification, but that is speaking about justification. So, cleanse thou me, that means acquit me of my secret faults. That means forgive me, free me from the punishment. That is now what a man is desiring when he is standing before the judge. True conversion that makes a man to have to do with the law. In true conversion, the Lord, he gives light upon the state of a person, and the state of a person that is his relationship to the law of God. Thus opening unto David what he stands in need of, that David sees what his guilt is, that David sees that he is liable unto all punishment. Oh, true conversion. What is that doing? That is leading a person through that law as a schoolmaster. It is leading a person unto whom? It is leading him unto the Son of God. It is leading him unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What is David asking for here? He is asking for cleansing. He is asking for forgiveness. Did that law of the Lord, did true conversion ever lead you also to this place? Then there is a preciousness, then there is a necessity in everything that has to do with that Son of God. Why? Because of that guilt that the law is opening unto me. Cleanse thou me. Forgive me, O Lord. Take it away. And then not only cleanse thou me, but it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. So what does that mean? To keep back. That means to prevent me. That means to restrain me. That means to hinder me, to spare me, to withhold me. Keep me back. Thus, David does not only wish children that he may live out his whole life in sin in this world and then be forgiven when he comes to the end of his life, that he may enter into heaven. No, David wishes more than this. Such a desire is not the desire of true conversion, because everyone in this world, they have a desire to be happy when they die. Everyone in this world has a desire to escape the punishment and to enter into heaven. But we see that true conversion, that is giving a man more than such a desire. Then there is also another desire. David says, Lord, wilt thou keep me? Wilt thou deliver me, not only from the punishment when I stand before the judge, but wilt thou deliver me from sin itself? Wilt thou keep me from that sin, because that sin that is still living in my heart, and that sin that is to me a burden, that sin that continues, and then that a truly converted man, he has a desire not only to be justified before that court of heaven, but also that he may be sanctified, that he may live a life that is without sin. Thus we may now compare ourselves and what is living in our heart with what David may experience. Is there now a need in our own heart that we say, O Lord, wilt thou cleanse me, wilt thou forgive me, but wilt thou also keep me, wilt thou keep me back, that I may not continue now to live out my life in such a way? Cleanse thou me, keep back thy servant. What is that a desire for? That is the desire for power from on high. And why does he need power from on high? Because he has not that power of himself. Because he is without power for these two things. He is without power to cleanse himself. He is without power to forgive himself. He is without power to deliver himself from the sentence of condemnation from the judge. Are you also without that power? Oh, justice must be satisfied. Do you see what true conversion is working in the soul of a man? Oh, then he sees the reality that justice cannot just be overstepped, that there is no power from his side to convince that judge that with all the good that he would bring forth in his life, he is still not able to take away that curse for the bad, for the evil, for the acts, and for that which is living in his heart, for his very being. Oh, that justice of the Lord that has to be satisfied. And if that delivered, if that power to forgive, if that is not coming now from another side, then it becomes for me so impossible because it cannot come from my own side. Thus not power to cleanse himself and not power to keep himself. Who is this? This is David, that is a child of the Lord. Has he not grace, and has he no power to keep himself? No. And David understands this. David knows this, that when that temptation shall come, even with all that the Lord has given to him in his life, then David has not the power to keep himself from a single sin. When the Lord, he will withdraw his restraining grace. And when the Lord will not hold David in his grace, then David is going to fall. Is David responsible? Oh, yes, he is. Keep yourself, David. Whose command is that? That is the command of the Lord. Oh, he feels it. It is so true. And yet, oh, where does all his responsibility bring him? That responsibility that can only bring a man in his guilt, but that responsibility is not able to deliver a man. There is no power in that responsibility that is able to free David of the guilt of his sin. There is no power in that responsibility that is able to keep David from a single sin in his whole life. What did Augustine therefore say? He said, Lord, give what thou commandest and command what thou wilt. Oh, David says, cleanse thou me. Keep back thy servant. Thus that people, they are instructed in their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, but they are also instructed in their need for the Holy Spirit. What does Christ mean to us? What does Christ mean to you? Does he mean something to you? Is he precious to you? By nature, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not precious to us. No, we say something about him with our lips, but our heart that is far from him. We have no need for him. Why have we no need for him? Because we do not understand our errors. And because then we have our own foundation. And because that foundation has never been broken down. And we have our own righteousness, which has never been made as filthy rags. But it is now even possible to confess such a need for his mediatorial work. But we do not need that to be applied to us. No, we can take that for ourselves. We do not say, O Lord, cleanse thou me. We do not need to be a beggar such as David had to be. No, we take that, we have that, and we keep it. And then, we do not need to be kept either. Because we have the power to keep ourselves. And then, we know absolutely nothing of the cry of David. We have know nothing about the need of David, and nothing about the need of God's true people who can understand his errors. Cleanse thou me, keep back thy servant. And then from what? That is our second thought. From what David desired to be cleansed and kept. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Two kinds of sins that David desired to be delivered from. Secret sins and presumptuous sins. Secret sins. What are secret sins? Something that is secret, that is covered. Something that is secret, that is hidden. It is unknown. So what does David ask for? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Is he then asking that the Lord would cleanse, that the Lord would forgive him those faults that he is hiding from everyone else in this world, that he as a hypocrite, as one who is putting on a face in this world, those that have no conscience of sin, as long as nobody else in the world sees it. Is that how it is in our life? Does not trouble us, young people. It does not trouble us as long as it is unknown to our mother, to our father, to our friend. Then we can still continue in such a life like Gehazi. Gehazi, thy servant went no whither. And then he can keep that money and he can keep those garments to himself. Or like Ananias and Sapphira. As long as it is hidden from other people, yes, that is the way that we go through this life. Or would we be willing to open up our whole life unto our neighbor? Is that what David is asking here when he speaks about secret faults, those things that he knows but that is not known to everyone in this world? That is not what David is speaking about. Of what is he speaking? He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. They are secret unto himself. Secret to himself. Cleanse thou me from those faults that I do not know that I commit. That I do not see. That I do not realize. Those faults that are not intentional by me. Thus, all the sins that I commit in my ignorance. That is, sins that we commit before that we are taught what is good or what is evil. We think of, for example, those that are upon the mission fields years ago. Then our missionaries, they have gone into places where everyone, boys and girls, they wore no clothing. Satan, he has undressed them to their shame. And they did not realize. And then those missionaries, they had to teach them. They had to teach them that they had to be clothed. And they had to teach them who the true God was. They bowed down to idols. They did not know. And how that true God desired to be served, they did not know that either. Thus, there are many things that we do not know. That is, in the first place. But then those secret faults are also those things which may lay deep within our subconscious, those things that lay deep within our motives, and that we are not diligent to search out in our heart. That we go on day by day and do not realize even that we commit these things. Thus, it is possible that we censor our neighbor and we have never heard him. We have heard that story from one side. We have never approached him, and maybe even without speaking, but in our heart we have condemned him. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults wherein my heart that sees and believes that what is actually evil is good and what is good is actually evil. That I think that that is a good thing that a woman may commit an abortion. Or that a person may be able to live out his homosexual desires in this world. Or that they may dress themselves as a man or as a woman of a different gender. That I do not even realize that what is good is evil and what is evil that I call good. or that I walk over this world as a holier than thou, and I do not even realize it. Or that I show preference to the rich over the poor. Cleanse thou me from secret faults, that I have a desire to have the preeminence, that I want to sit on the right and on the left hand of power over everyone else, that I may have my say, that I do not even consider the thoughts, the wicked thoughts that are laying in my heart, that I am ready to accuse my neighbor over and over and over again, and I will not look upon myself. Cleanse thou me from secret faults, that I am neglecting all of my duty, that I fail to do those things that I ought to do. Cleanse thou me from secret faults, that I miss the right affections, that I miss the affection toward God and toward His only begotten Son, that I miss the affections that I ought to have unto my neighbor. Cleanse thou me from that cleaving to the world that is secretly living in my heart. Cleanse thou me from that wretched pride of my own humility, that I do not even see and realize. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults remain faults. Secret faults remain sins. Something is not sin because we know it is a sin. When are things sin? They are sin because they are against the holy law of God. We will know that in the judgment. Then we will find ourselves to be without excuse. What do we read in God's word? That there are those who will be beaten with few stripes. Who are they? Ignorance is something which lessens our punishment but does not take it away. Why not? Because it remains sin. It cannot take it away. Because it is not our knowledge that something is sin which makes it a sin, as man in his relativity wants to teach. What is sin to you is not sin to me. No, it is the law of the Lord. Paul says, I was before a blasphemer and persecutor. I was injurious. He says, I received what? He says, I received mercy. Why? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. It was ignorant. Why did he need mercy? He still needed mercy because it remained sin, even though that it was done in ignorance. There are those, they say, that it depends on your motive, whether or not something is sin or not. Whether you had an evil motive or a good motive, that is what makes it sin. What is living within you? That is true in some cases, and not in all. In which cases? It is true in those cases where the thing itself is indifferent, where the thing itself is not sin. You may wear what color that you like, whether it be black or white or blue or purple, but that thing being indifferent in itself, that is not sin. When you know you will be an offense unto your neighbor, then it becomes sin. They are the only times when that thing itself makes no difference. Then it depends upon our motive. But there are many, many things that depend not on our motive. What depends not on our motive? If we curse God, it depends not on our motive. It is sin. If I lie, boys and girls, it depends not on my motive. Whether I'm trying to do something good, whether I'm trying to deliver myself out of evil, to lie is to sin. That depends not on our motive. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Faults in the thought, faults in the word, faults in the deed, faults in my very being, faults that exist in me because of who I am, because of my rebelliousness, or how necessary it is that as a minister that we preach unto men his faults, that we preach unto men his sins. Why? Or what did the Lord say? He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show unto Israel their transgression and unto Jacob their sins. Why? Or when we do not know what those sins are, they still remain sin. Then we go on in our sin. Then we will be judged because of our sin. By nature, we do not want to hear what our sin is. Why not? Because we want to continue in that sin. And then we become angry when that sin that is laid out before us, Jeroboam, he is at the altar of Bethel, and the man of the Lord, he comes to testify against him, and he becomes angry with him. Uzziah, what do we read? And that he is taking the place of the priest of the Lord. And he is going into the house of the Lord to burn incense. And the priests, they are standing there in his way. And he becomes angry with them because they open to him, because they expose unto him his error. But now when it is right, or when it is right, then the Lord, he is making a man to desire to know his sin. Why? That he may not go lost because of his sin. Then we do not become angry. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back also thy servant from presumptuous sins. What are they? Sins of presumption. They are willful sins. They are sins against better knowledge. They are sins that when I know what it is, I go on anyway. That I realize what I am doing when I commit it. God's people, who is asking, David, do God's children commit willful, presumptuous sins? Oh, doesn't David know something of this? Did David know what he was doing when he stood upon his housetop? And when he saw that woman, and when he did not look away from her, did David know what he was doing? And when he has spoken that word to send for her, to bring her to my house, did David know what he was doing in the commission of his sin? Did David know what he was doing when he was trying to get out of that sin? That no one in the whole world would know it. Set Uriah in the forefront of that hardest battle. Did David know? Oh, David knew. He knew from the very beginning, from the very start to the very, very end, David knew it all. Presumptuous sins. It is a warfare. It is a warfare in the life of that true church with presumptuous sins. It is a church militant. Do you know that warfare? There is a new man, and that new man cries. He cries to God. He says, oh Lord, keep me, keep me. And that heart that is within, that is the difference between that new man and the conscience of every man in this world. Because within that heart there is that love to the Lord. And that heart that says, oh Lord, keep me. Lord, I love thee. And oh, I do not want to fall into sin. And yet, oh, a warfare. Because that old man, he is still hankering after that sin. And oh, then he is also finagling the circumstances at the same time in his mind, how that even as he is on his knees, asking the Lord, Lord, help me and Lord, keep me, then he is still, oh, how I can come into that situation that I may be able to live out that desire. Oh, secretly disguising that sin, dressing that sin up into a nicer garb, putting whitewash, as it were, on that sepulcher of evil that is lying underneath. Oh, crying on the one hand, and on the other hand, defending it. On the other hand, making excuses. On the other hand, minimizing the evil of that sin. Oh, it is not so bad. Oh, crying to God for help on the one side, and on the other side, concealing the evil, concealing the hatred of the Lord against that sin, or the punishment of the Lord, thou shalt not surely die. Asking the Lord on the one side, and on the other side, blaming my circumstances. You cannot help it. You cannot help it. Or it is your circumstances. Better this than something else. Oh, the evil, the deceitfulness of that heart playing the antinomian. The Lord will forgive you when you commit this sin. It is not the unpardonable sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. They are the sins that cause the greatest consternation and grief in the heart of God's people. They are the sins for which there are so many accusations afterward. They are the sins that Satan is often so busy with. You knew better. There is nothing of the work of the Lord that lies in your heart. It is too late. You have gone too far. See, it is evidence. You are my captive. You are my slave. And the love of Satan that is living in your heart. Indeed, they are the sins for which man is beaten with many stripes. Oh, and therefore David says, Lord, let them not have dominion over me. Oh, let them not have the mastery over me. When Israel came into Canaan, the Canaanites, they were still there. Oh, they did not drive them completely out. But they did not have the dominion. They were like thorns in their sides. But they did not have the dominion. And now what does David say? Oh, Lord, let not sin have the dominion over me, that it would bring me into that awful pit. Let us sing 143, 1 and 2. O God, ascend according to thy grace, and be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 143. Thank you. our last thought, what consequences this cleansing and keeping has. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then shall I be upright. What does that mean? That means to be of moral excellence. That means to be honest, to be true, to be just. Actually, the word means to be finished. To be finished. That is, this is now the end that that church desires. That is now what is born in the day of regeneration. That is the end. That is their purpose, that they may be upright, not just to gain heaven. Then shall I be upright. Then I shall have gained, O Lord, my entire, and then I shall have gained my entire purpose. And why is it the purpose of that people? Because it is the purpose of the Lord. What is the purpose of the Lord in regeneration? That is to restore that people into his image. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What do we read? There is forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. That is the end. That is the purpose of the Lord. And what the Lord loves, he makes that people to love. And what is now the Lord love? He loves uprightness. Then shall I be upright. What does the Lord require of thee, we read, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep his commandments, to keep his statutes, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Then shall I be upright. Then I shall be perfect. Then I shall be of moral excellence. Shall they be without sin? Impossible. For there is no man that sinneth not, we read. No, when the Lord came down and he looked upon men, then what did he find? Then he found men that have all gone aside. So upright, that is not perfect uprightness before the sight of God, but it is a comparative uprightness. There is a great difference between the wicked and the upright in the world, the godly in the world, even though there is not one man that is without sin. Job was a man who feared God and he eschewed evil, and yet he had in the sight of God sin. Then I shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Congregation, what does the word innocent mean? Actually, we already heard about it. It's a different word in the English language, but it's the same word we just heard about if you will read it in the original language. The word innocent is the same word as cleanse. So the word, David says, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. What does it mean, children? Do you remember? Cleanse thou me. That means, O Lord, forgive me. Forgive me all my secret faults. Now what does it say here? It says, then I shall be innocent. So innocent and cleanse, the same word. What does he say? O Lord, forgive me. Then I shall be forgiven. Cleanse me, then I shall be cleansed. Then he says, Lord, if thou wilt do it, then it shall be. And then it shall be so complete that it will not lack anything to be innocent. Do we ever consider how great a matter innocence is? We use that term sometimes in our daily life, and we can sit here and speak about guilt and innocence, but where does the importance of guilt and innocence come out into the open? That is in the court. And you and I will be very, very concerned about guilt and innocence when we come to stand before the throne of God one day. Because it is guilt that will make us liable to the punishment, and it is innocence that will free us from it. Is that not important? Is that not important, boys and girls, young people? Guilt or innocence, is that not important when we see that any day we can be taken out of this life, this one or that one, old, also young, and then standing before that throne of God, and then a great matter whether we are guilty or whether we are innocent. And if we are innocent, in this life, when we would receive by a judge a wrong sentence, then that innocence also has much to do with our comfort. Even when we are wrongly punished, then there is comfort through that innocence. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And there are now two things contained in that. Or if the Lord will keep us, young people, do you ask for this? Do you ask for this when you bow your knees in the morning? Lord, wilt thou keep me, that I may be innocent? Or if the Lord, we cannot keep ourselves. Or do you try to keep yourself? Do you learn how that you cannot keep yourself? And if now the Lord will keep us this day from those sins, and sin that is a slippery slope, we have the one and the other that is following so close behind it. Is that not so? Or do you ask the Lord that he may keep you? And if the Lord will keep you, then you shall be innocent from many transgressions. And you will be also spared from that grief that many have to sing in their old age with the psalmist. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. That is in the first place, but now in the second place. If the Lord will now cleanse us, oh, then the psalmist says, then I shall be cleansed. If the Lord shall now forgive me, then I shall be forgiven. And if I shall be forgiven, then it will be with all my sin that I have committed in my life. When I am standing before the judge, that I am standing there as an innocent person, as one who has never committed a single sin. Oh, can you fathom the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what he says? He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. To be innocent means that we are completely free of guilt. And that is now the experience also of the soul, by faith in that Son of God. Oh, the psalmist, it is like the wicked. He says the wicked, they are like a green bay tree that is spreading itself is not sin that way? Like a green bay tree that is spreading itself and that is found by that people to be inward and outward and everywhere so that everything becomes sin? And yet, what did the psalmist say about those wicked? He says, oh, he passed away. He was not. He says, I sought him and he could not be found. And if the Lord will now forgive, then he will be like that wicked man who was like that green bay tree spreading itself. But then you will seek him, and he will not be found. When it is forgiven, then it is forgiven, says the psalmist. Oh, how powerful is not that blood of Christ? To forgive sin, those that are secret, and also those that are presumptuous. Is that not a significant matter when we will have to stand before our great judge, that we would be innocent from the great transgression? Then our state is good, and then our comfort is very great. Congregation, who can understand his errors? Can you understand your errors? Can you understand your secret faults? Can you understand your presumptuous sins? Is that important? What is more important between the cradle and the grave? What will it take to uncover them? You must ask the Lord to do it. Because we will not uncover them. That is a prayer against myself. David, he had the prophet of the Lord come to him. And he says, David, there was a man, a poor man, he had a little lamb. And then there was a rich man who had many flocks. And he received a visitor. And he spared his own flocks. And he took of that one poor man's lamb. What did David say? He says, the man that has done this shall surely die. That is who we are. We can see it in everybody else, and we cannot see it in ourselves. And what had to happen? Then the prophet said, thou art the man. And when the Lord comes to say, thou art the man, then I don't see it so much in my neighbor anymore. But then I see it in myself. And now there is place for him whom the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now there is place when I may come to understand my errors for him whom the Father loves. The multitude, they cried, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What did they not know? They did not understand their errors. And that is why later they said, crucify him. They did not know, reverently speaking, what to do with the Lord Jesus. But that is now different when the Lord gives us to begin to understand our errors, then to reveal himself, and then he becomes so white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, yea, altogether lovely, oh precious, to a guilty soul that is not able to deliver himself from all his iniquity, to forgive himself or to keep himself. And so he will be glorified and their soul will be saved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou show to us what we are. Who can understand his errors? O open then our eyes, and wilt thou cleanse us from secret faults, and keep us back also from presumptuous sins, and cleanse and wash us in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Glorify thyself, and forgive what was sinful this hour, and bring us safely to our homes. Give us a desire to be together in this afternoon hour again. For Jesus' sake, amen. 384. 384, 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 2, 4, and 5, 384. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.